Father, thank you so much again for your great love for us. Thank you, Lord, that every good and perfect gift comes from you, the Father of lights. Love just reciting these things and love remembering who you are. And God, on this snowy, cold Saturday morning, Lord, we remember who you are. We remember that you are God with us. You are Emmanuel. We remember that you are the Alpha and the beginning and the Omega, the end, Lord. You are the bright morning star. Yeshua, you shine into our lives. You are our rock. You're our defender. You're our healer. You are our covering. And you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And God, we honor you in those places today. And we ask that you would come and speak to us. You would be with us this morning as we have come together to meet with you, to honor you, and to hear from you as well. We bless you in Jesus' name. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning might look a little bit different. Obviously, as you guys are probably aware, most of us are aware, Monday is a pretty significant day. As we just talked about, it's Martin Luther King Day. If you aren't familiar with the life and ministry of Dr. Martin Luther King, it's phenomenal. And he was a pastor who had a real heart for racial equality and rights. And he was in a nonviolent way. And he really helped to raise people up in that way, and was just a kind of a leader in the civil rights movement. And so we're celebrating his life on Monday morning. So we're excited to be able to do that. It's a big integral part of what we do here in the city, and is to honor him in that way. And then also, of course, Monday is Inauguration Day. So we are inaugurating another term president, obviously President Trump, and you know, these things are significant. Feel like that this season is significant, and it's significant for us to be operating as the people of God. Amen. I mean, the temptation can be we kind of step outside of our core citizenship as citizens of the kingdom, and we start operating sometimes even more in governmental ways or more in political ways. And I believe that there's just a call from the Lord to say, recognize this season that we're in, recognize the importance of these things, but also how do we walk as believers, as followers of Yeshua? How are we to conduct ourselves, and what are we to do? And so this morning we're going to do just a little bit of talking and around some of these kind of things, but then we're going to open it up for prayer. We're actually going to do a time of some corporate prayer. Feel like it, you know, in these times of transition, it's important for the people of God to pray. It is important for us to realize that mountains move when we pray. That when we partner our hearts with the Lord's heart, that stuff actually starts to happen. You know, praying and talking to the Lord in intercession is not just something that doesn't do anything. It actually starts to put things in process and movement. And the people of God are called to pray. Amen? We're called to be a praying people and a people that have compassion and care. And something happens not just out there, but inside of us when we start praying and when we align our hearts with the Lord. And so we are going to have just a little bit of time of prayer over some of these topics. And hopefully we'll be able to just engage in that together in a life-giving way. But again, as I kind of mentioned, you know, I think that in these pivotal times and these times, especially when there's transitions that happen presidentially, we all obviously, you know, we all know kind of what happened with this kind of, you know, insurrection and different things. And it just seems like right now the spirit of the air is that, you know, it's us versus them, or it's very politically charged. There's a lot of kind of opposition. And I would say that, you know, whatever side politically that we're on, we're called to, as believers in Yeshua, to be above that. And I don't mean above that as this kind of an air of superiority to others, but I mean, we're not to partake in what Paul would call civilian affairs. Paul would call these kind of things civilian affairs. And it's kind of like when we get our hearts and our minds and our souls so entangled sometimes and so enraptured with the things and results of things politically that we start getting drug into a place where that stuff is actually changing our hearts or changing our moods or changing the way that we live. And I don't know if you're like me, but I was so sad with some of the things that have happened when we're called to be, you know, our country here in America, we have this, it's a great blessing. It's a great joy and a blessing to be able to vote, to be a republic, to be able to have a political opinion, to be able to express those things freely. I mean, we live in a pretty incredible country. I think most of us would agree with that. But it also is, it's sad to see where people, you know, if they know that somebody else votes maybe a different way than they do, then they automatically put them into another camp. There's almost automatically a distance that's there. And what we want to do even this morning, and what we want to do, I believe, not just this morning, but with our hearts, is to align our hearts with the kingdom of God. We should be a people of honor. We should be a people of intercession. And this doesn't mean that we don't, you know, back down from things and topics. It's important for us to be involved in political spaces. I really do believe that. But we also have to remember, what is our citizenship of heaven? What does God command in his word about how we should live, how we should operate? It's important for us to look at these things and remember that we are first and foremost citizens of heaven. Amen? Amen. We operate under the lordship and the rulership of Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus the Messiah, he is called, is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is just a call and a reminder this morning that we have been brought out of the darkness into the marvelous light, amen? And that we are no longer ones who just operate carnally. We don't operate with emotions, and we don't operate with just politics. We operate in the Spirit of God. And in order to operate in the Spirit, there's rules and there's regulations to how we should govern our own selves and how we're to live our lives. And so we want to do our duty as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and we want to be able to release these things according to God's heart. Amen? And again, this is part of our kingdom citizenship. It's like, you know, in Scripture, we hear about these words that are like ambassadors, becoming an ambassador for Christ. An ambassador is really a representative, a delegate that's entrusted, accredited representative to go in on behalf of the sending organization, right? So we have these ambassadors. We have, like, in America, we have, you know, there's all these embassies, right? You have these embassies out in Washington, D.C., and you have the embassy for Mexico, or you have the embassy for Ecuador or for Sudan. Or if you go over or in other countries, there's an American embassy. And it's interesting that those places, those embassies, almost operate like a city of refuge, a place of refuge. So if you're in a foreign country, you get into trouble, something goes on, they tell you to go to the embassy, to the American embassy. And there's hopefully ambassadors that are there. There's representatives that are accredited, that are sent and have authority in those spaces, in those embassies. So as we think about that, as citizens of heaven, we are actually accredited by God to be representatives of him, of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. So this is the place where we've been sent. This is the place where we've been sent to go into and to be affecting and to be praying. But there's ways of operation. And I think that there's this delineation that has to take place between what's political and what's the kingdom. There's things that are kingdom and there's things that are just political. And sometimes it's hard for us because those things can be enmeshed. You know, I know sometimes we can think of, well, we've got a, you know, here we have a, whatever, again, political stance you take, you know, we have a, here's a godly president, or this is an ungodly president. Well, I mean, my Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, so we're all, in one sense, we're all sinners. And everybody kind of represents a piece of the glory of God. I believe that we're created in his image. Now, not everybody knows him, but I think sometimes it's easy for us to do these kind of like big sweeping things and saying, okay, well, now that we have this person in office or we don't have this person in office, this is going to happen or this is going to be the result. Listen, the idea for us as believers, we are called to pray. We are called to honor. We are called to live in submission and humility and service to the government and to others as well. And so I think that this is just kind of a call for us to say, as we have this major transition, and even as we have MLK, you know, day that's coming up on the same day, we realize that we want to be sensitive to all these things and we want to be active participants in the kingdom of heaven. Here's a scripture from 2 Corinthians 5:20. It says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So I think this scripture to me indicates a couple of things. It indicates that Paul is talking. You can keep that up there if you wouldn't mind. It's kind of indicating that, obviously, that we're ambassadors like we just talked about. So an ambassador is an accredited diplomat that's sent by a country as an official representative of a foreign country. That's the official definition. So we're being sent to the earth, to our sphere of influence, to, I would say for us that are living here right now, to America, as though God were making his appeal through us. Again, we're representing Yeshua. We're representing the Lord on Christ's behalf. And what is the kind of the focal point? To be reconciled to God. To be reconciled. And I don't see where it says so that our candidate can win or our political affiliation can be promoted or our social issue can be talked about. I don't see that. I see we're anointed, we're blessed by God as ambassadors to reconcile people to God. So as citizens of heaven, what I'm seeing is that we remember that there's an order, a structure, a hierarchy, a priority for our lives, which should be first and foremost telling people about Yeshua, ministering the gospel, spreading those things and being full of the Spirit, and our lives should be full of the Spirit. You can judge a tree by its fruit. So is our life bearing the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Is that our tone and our tenor as believers? And I believe that that's what we're being called into. Especially as there's, you know, this transition that's happening with our president here in the United States. We're called to bear the fruit of the Spirit because we are ambassadors of Christ. Amen? You know, one of the things that's interesting is that when we start living in this way, those around us start being affected. When we start bearing the essence and the of Christ, and we start operating in the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, and we're positioning ourselves as, hey, listen, we realize there's political things, but we're praying. We're operating in humility. Whoever's in office, we're praying. We're interceding. We're acting in love. We're acting in humility and kindness. We're not casting out people or shunning people because they didn't vote like we voted, because they don't look like we look, or because they have different agendas. No, we're operating like Yeshua because we are ambassadors of his. Amen? And so the world starts changing. You know, one of the interesting things, how many people have ever been to like another country around the equator? Has anybody ever been to like somewhere in Africa or maybe, you know, South America? A few of us have. One of the interesting things when you go to, if you've gone to a church over there, I found this fascinating. I'm big boned. I'm a big man. I generate a lot of heat. Like right now, like I can feel the boilers are going. That's great, but I am roasting hot. Listen, I'm a hot-blooded person. I'm like a polar bear. And so I am generating lots of heat right now. And so when I go to these other countries, I go to around the equator, it's hot and humid in a lot of these places, right? So I remember going to Africa, and I was in Kenya, in Eastern Africa there, and go to Kenya for the first time. And I remember, man, it's so hot here. I'm glad I wore my shorts. I'm glad I have my shorts and my short-sleeved shirts. And so we're getting ready to go to church service, and we're told, okay, get ready for church and make sure that you have your proper attire. You know, for men, that would look like a suit. And I mean, we're talking like full-on three-piece suit. You know, for ladies, it's, you know, long skirts, you know, something that would cover your shoulders. And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, it's like 112 degrees out here. It is hot. Like, it is hot, hot. We're near the equator. Why in the world would we, you know, like, I could understand, you know, coming to the Lord, honoring him and stuff. But listen, there's a thing about, like, comfortability. It's just hot. So I go to this place, and everybody's wearing suits, three-piece suits. So here you are in the middle of Africa, and you have people that are wearing full-on suits. And I was like, that's a kind of an interesting dynamic. And then being in Haiti, which is also, again, near the equator, same kind of a thing happening there. You go to church services, people in full-on suits during Sundays. And so during business weeks, you'd see people walking down the street. I mean, it is hot out there, and they're wearing full-on suits. And I was always kind of wondering, like, why were,
If I was here, I would just be wearing shorts and a short sleeve shirt. I don't know. I'm kind of a casual guy anyway, but I'm like, how did that happen? And I remember hearing a pastor talk about this concept of colonization. Colonization. Well, yeah, and you could be cooler that way. And I know a lot of the pickers in the fields will like wear long sleeve shirts and stuff, and the sweat evaporates. But the reason I found out that a lot of these people will wear suits is because of colonization. So when England, you know, who kind of, invented these three-piece suits and this kind of style of clothing came and colonized these countries, they began to impose some of their, this is what it means to be proper. This is how you dress properly. This is how you should dress formally. And so it's kind of like, well, if you wear this three-piece suit, it's kind of a way of, you know, honoring and you're looking nice. And this is what it means. It kind of changed the definitions of what it meant to look nice. So all of a sudden you don't have comfortability, something kind of else, this culture that gets imposed in there, and it's because of colonization. And so, I mean, there's obviously a lot of things that are challenging and not right about this idea of colonization. There's been a lot of oppression, a lot of things and misrepresentation, a lot of things, bad things that have happened. But if we kind of pull back on all that, and from a loose picture, we're actually, part of what we're doing here is helping to colonize the areas around us, the spheres around us, with the kingdom of heaven. It's almost kind of like we're saying, well, here's a different way of doing things. Again, we're not, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So a lot of operation in the way of the world says, well, you know, politically, let's get all these kind of things. And if you're on the left or the right, and we need to fight each other, we need to be at odds with each other. We can't live in relationship or connection. But I would say that the kingdom of heaven, we're called to operate differently. Again, we're not thinking with that same perspective. And so one of those main things, again, is we're called to pray. We're called to be intercessors. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4 says this. It's Paul talking to Timothy. He says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Notice here, it doesn't say godly kings and godly authorities. It just says kings and authorities. It doesn't kind of say, well, only pray for the ones who you voted for. It doesn't say only intercede for those leaders that you agree with. It says to genuinely pray for all leaders. It says for us to pray for all people and for kings and those in authority. God wants us to have a heart for people and a heart for our leaders. Romans 13:1 says this, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. You know, there's lots of kind of great examples of this kind of happening. I think throughout even the Old Testament, you look at the life of Joseph, who was brought up into the house of Pharaoh, who was obviously a godless king. He didn't serve the Lord. But then you also have other prophets like Daniel. Think about how Daniel served. You know, he served these godless kings in Babylon, but his heart was to serve. And he wasn't bowing to their gods, and he wasn't bowing to them. He served because he knew he was doing it as unto the Lord. So when we pray for our leaders, when we pray for our nation, we pray for our country, we're doing it as unto the Lord, not based on whatever that person's performance is, not based on their political affiliation. We're actually interceding and praying for our country because we honor and serve the Lord and we follow what he says for us to do. Amen. So we're all citizens that are called to represent that way. Micah 6:8. This is a familiar scripture to a lot of us. It says, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. I love that. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's how he wants us to live, and that's how he wants us to pray. He wants us to intercede. He wants us to live this way where we're operating in justice and we love mercy. We love to walk humbly with the Lord. You know, Dr. King, he loved justice. He wanted justice to be served. And if you read some of these, you know, letters from a Birmingham jail, if you read that or you read some of his sermons and some of his teachings and speeches, and you hear what he was talking about. You know, his heart was for justice. And he wasn't he didn't want to go and take that from a violence perspective. I mean, he would tell people, are you ready to go and are you ready to get hit? Are you ready to go get beat for this? Are you ready to go into places of injustice and stand for truth and demand a voice and an equal vote? Are you ready to do that, but not to respond with violence? That is a great example of acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God. And so we want to kind of transition into this, just a time of prayer. And this is just going to be a time of for us to just join our hearts with the Lord. Okay, so Dad, would you kind of come up first? If you'd come up, I asked just a couple of folks to come in and kind of pray into some key points. And so just as we're praying, I just want to invite our hearts just to be humble before the Lord. Obviously, this is an important time in our country. We have a transition. There's a lot of stuff that's happening politically. There's a lot of stuff that's happening with Israel. You know, there's this ceasefire now that's happening, and there's good things and bad things about that happening. And, you know, the world is a crazy place, as it always has been. But we want to start with, you know, I believe that when we humble our hearts before the Lord, we turn our hearts to heaven and we petition to him, he'll hear our cries. And so I asked my dad to pray for us and pray for the church first. And Dad, would you just pray for us as the body of believers, the body of Messiah, that we would be able to come into alignment with God's heart? That'd be great. Thanks.
Amen. Father God, we do come before you, God, as the body of Christ. We are your body, Lord. And God, I just agree totally with what Simon said, Lord, that and ask God that you would bring us all into your alignment, Lord. The Lord God, we would do your will and operate as your ambassadors, Lord. Regardless of all the things going on, you are still on the throne. And Lord, we are your church. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the authority. You have given us great authority. And I pray, God, that you would help us all to walk in the authority you've given us, to stand. There's so many scriptures that talk about standing, stand firm, you know, resist the enemy. Help us, oh God, as a body to stand in you, in faith,
yes,
with the full armor
Thank you.
Of God on. Because, Lord, we are there. We don't need to turn away from the enemy, but we need to stand and face the enemy. I know it's the onslaught is incredible, but God, give us, strengthen us, oh God, equip us and fill us with the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we might all walk according to your will, and that we would fellowship and stay together, Lord. Keep us together. There's so many forces trying to separate the church, Lord, but help us to operate and to keep together and be one body, Lord, and be effective. Just raise your church up, Lord, especially in this hour. Give us a boldness to speak. We need to speak. There's many times we need to stand, you know, in situations we need to say, we need to speak your word, Lord, and help us to do that, Lord.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Dad. Frank, if you want to come up, I asked Frank to pray over this upcoming transition, obviously the inauguration and pray for that, and also to pray blessing over President Trump and Vice President Vance, that they would have wisdom and guidance and understanding, and also to pray blessing over President Biden and Vice President Harris as well as they're transitioning out. Again, we're to be a people of blessing. We're to be a people that are praying for our leaders. And so, Frank, would you lead us in that prayer? Thank you.
Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your call on all men's lives to seek your face. That is your desire, Lord, that all men would seek your face, your presence, O God. And Father, we as believers, we know that it's not only a duty, but a command even to pray for those in governments, because the men that we elect have effect even on the believer. And the furthering of the gospel. So, Father, we just come now before you, Lord, just asking you, Father, to guide, to guard, and protect the souls of those. We know that you are sovereign, Lord God. There's no government that exists without your willing them to exist, Lord. And it may be corrupt in many nations, but particularly in ours, Lord God. These are the ones that you called us mainly to pray for, intercede, and all those things, Lord, that you commanded with that scripture that Pastor Simon just read. So, Father, we do. We praise you, Father, for loving man so much that you have given him authority over other men even. But, Lord, you are sovereign. What you do and what you say will last forever, Lord. And you hold us accountable. You will hold all men accountable. So we pray for the incoming cabinet, Lord, the president and vice president, that no matter what we may profess, that we may live out those convictions. If we profess to be a believer, then act like one. Father, we expect our incoming president and cabinet, those who claim you as Lord and Savior, that they would truly be on their knees before you as well.
Yes.
Day and night, night and day, if that's what it takes, Lord God, to hear from you, to govern this place with truth and with righteousness, with justice and mercy. There is mercy and justice, Lord. And we just know that you're the great merciful God, that even you, Lord, you continue to love God despite their rejection of you. We pray that you change the hearts, Lord God, of all men, whether young or whether old. Father, we just lift them up before you. We ask that you surround them, our president and vice president and cabinet members. You surround them with men, women that are godly. Lord, each president have claimed to have some kind of spiritual advisor, Lord. I pray that it would be a spiritual advisor that knows you, Lord, and that you can impart wisdom and understanding and discernment, Lord, that this nation would once again return to its roots, even in Christianity, will we return to our roots, Lord God, because there's so much richness there. So, Father, have your way with our president, vice president, and his cabinet, Lord. And for those that are leaving office, I pray that you would cause them to search their own hearts to see what their relationship with you is and to repent when necessary, Lord. That you have plans and purposes for them as well, Lord. And I pray that what would be first most on their minds and hearts would that they would draw closer to you and that you would reveal truth, Lord, for it is your desire that all men to be saved. And Lord, you do not take, you don't desire the destruction of men, Lord God, but the salvation of men. So have your way, Lord. We bless them, Lord. We bless those that are leaving. We even thank them for their service, Lord, because we know in their hearts, Lord, they want to do the right thing, but they must know what the right thing is to do, Lord. So I pray that there would be times in their intimacy, Lord, for all people to have you search their heart. Like Coach Max said, Lord God, search me, O Lord, and know if there be any wickedness in me.
Yeah.
Feed me with your word, Lord. And then lead me by your Spirit, Lord. For those that are led by the Spirit are called sons and daughters of the Most High God.
Thank you.
Father, I pray that we would live up to what we say, Lord. And we pay the price where necessary, Lord. Many a persecution will come upon us and them, Lord, who profess the truth for your sake and for your glory. Because we know that there's a time coming when you will judge the wicked along with the righteous, Lord. Maybe we be adamant as a church, Lord, to go out and preach that gospel of salvation, that all men would be saved. That is our duty, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And we bless you and thank you in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Thanks, Frank. Yeah, Lord, we just say yes to those prayers, Father. We do thank you, and we pray even, Lord, that, Lord, any plans of the enemy would be thwarted. Lord, we lift up our country before you. We lift up this country that you have placed us in, Lord. We are here for a reason.
It's not by an accident. And just like for every single person, you know our days, you know our times, and you, I believe that you plant us in areas for a reason. It's for a purpose that we are alive today. For such a time as this, as your scripture said, and I'm just thinking about Esther and Mordecai and for deliverance, and you station us here, Lord, to be your ambassadors. Lord, we want to represent you well, Lord. Would you help us, God, to represent you well? Lord, we just ask for blessing, Lord, even this upcoming Monday as we celebrate the life of Dr. Martin Luther King and all that he meant. And the 1960s weren't actually that long ago, where there was some things that were just really injustices, Lord. And we thank you so much for his life and the impact that he had and his willingness to lay his own life down. And he ended up paying for this with his own life. But Lord, and it was because he loved you, God. We know that. And we know that he wanted to see justice. And he wanted to see mercy, and he wanted to walk humbly before you, Lord. And so just as we honor his life, Lord, we want to take those things. We want to live in the same way where we're in a non-violent, non-worldly way. We want to take up the things that you're calling us to take up, Lord. We want to uphold the standard of righteousness, Lord. We ask that there would be a move and a revival of holiness and righteousness that would come back to your body, Lord, and into our cities. Lord, we pray for this upcoming inauguration, Lord. We just pray for protection and blessing, Lord. Thwart any plan of the enemy to sow in destruction and darkness. And Lord, would you tear down those walls of separation? Lord, would you tear down those walls of hostility between men, between women, between political parties? Lord, you have given us the ministry of reconciliation. Lord, you have entrusted that to us, and so help us to be those kingdom citizens, Lord, that are operating in your spirit, operating in your kingdom, Lord, and we're not taking up the ways of the world, but we're operating in a different way. Help us, Lord. We don't even know how to do that in and of ourselves, but we want to keep in step with you, Holy Spirit. So first, give us your heart. Oh, give us your eyes and give us your heart. God, move our hearts with what moves your heart. God, you are the holder of justice and mercy and grace, and allow us to operate in the same way of mercy, justice, and grace. And Lord, as this feels like an important season for this land that you've placed us in, Lord, we realize that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Lord, this is not our home. The sun doesn't rise or fall depending on the candidate that's in office. You are the one who, Jesus, hung the stars in the sky. You hung the sun and the moon. You've ordered all of these things, and we are caught up in an eternal perspective, an eternal kingdom. So help us to be about your business. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and empower us to operate in your spirit and to bear the fruit of your spirit. May we have love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. By your Spirit, nothing that we drum up ourselves, but we would humble ourselves and receive the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, and so we just pray, God, that you would help us with these things. Lord, we pray that you would help us to love justice and to be pursuing that, and love mercy, to love grace, and to be pursuing these things. And freely we received and freely we give. So God, as the people of God, we hear here and we just profess and we welcome you, Lord. And like your word says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven. And so, Lord, we just humble ourselves. We ask for our country, Lord, that you would come, that you would fill us. Lord, then you would forgive us for our grievous sins. Forgive us for our policies that aren't in line with your heart. Forgive us, Lord, for the ways that we misstep and that we speak out and we gossip and we judge. And Lord, and as a people, we murder and we kill and destroy and we live outside of alignment with your kingdom. Oh, God, we need you. We need a revival.
God, send a revival. Send wave after wave of revival and renewal, Lord, that we could fulfill the great mandation, the great commission, the greatest mandates to go and make disciples of all the nations of the earth, that your name would be famous, Yeshua. Lord, we love that, we bless you, we commit our hearts to you in this season to you. B'Shem Yeshua, we pray this morning. Amen and amen. Well, amen. Well, let's go ahead and we'll conclude this morning. I just want to release the Aaronic benediction over you. But that was just something that felt like God just placed on our hearts for interceding and praying. And I just encourage us, you know, may we be a praying people. May we be a people that intercede, you know, and that just spend time even when we're driving or we're on the bus or we're going from here to there. We just close our eyes and intercede. Just as we close this morning, we remember that, again, this out of Job 12, it says, he makes nations great and he destroys them. He enlarges nations and disperses them. And so we are connecting with, we pray to the one who has the ultimate authority. And may the Lord help us to be able to operate in that authority ourselves and to pray for those who are in authority over us. Amen? Amen. Well, let's conclude this morning with the Aaronic benediction. And obviously this is out of Numbers 6:24. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and may the Lord grant you his peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach. And in the Hebrew, we pray.
Yivarechech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'yichul panav alecha. Isa Adonai panav alecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
May you go forth in the blessing and the peace, the shalom of Yeshua Jesus, our Lord and Savior. God bless you. Amen.